In Shlishi, the sukkim that I'm going to talk about are well known to everyone here, I hope. After Yaakov has crossed over his hands, Sikelet Yadav, in the previous aliyah, and has given the bracha of Hamalach HaGoel Oti, and Yosef, in the middle of the brachot, so tries to switch the hands back, and Yaakov says, no, Yadati v'ni Yadati, I'm well aware of what I'm doing. He gives the, continues the bracha, Yisimcha Elokim, El Yisimcha Elokim Yafraim v'chim Nashe, V'yasem et Ephraim l'fnei Menashe. And here it's Yivarech Yisrael, Becha Yivarech Yisrael Lemor. Right? He says that this is in effect, and this is the Makor already that goes back at least to the time of the Tanaim. It's found already in Targum Yonatan that the minhag to give this bracha at the Brit Milah and to use this as the, if you will, the prototype for all brachot. The question, of course, is why? I mean, there are 12 sons. And one could argue that Yehuda's bracha is the most impressive brachot. It's implying that of the second generation, third generation, depending on how you want to look at it, right, so Yaakov is taking two particular children, that they, is there any indication that Ephraim and Menashe are more gifted than any of the other grandchildren? Are they really greater than Peretz, let's say, than Zarach, than Kahat, right, the son of Levi? You can think of other names that have importance throughout history. We don't know of nothing per se that Ephraim and Menashe accomplished. Right, it's true, they, because of Yosef's specific status, there were two shvatim. But Ephraim and Menashe themselves, we do not know of any particular accomplishment that they had beyond the realm of the accomplishments of any of the other children of their generation. Why do they become the prototype for all of our brachot, you know, and many of you undoubtedly getting the bracha, let's say, from your parents on Friday night, and they use that term, Ephraim and Asher. And when you give the bracha to the girls, so then you go to the imahot. Right? So, you know, so this is becomes a very, you know, clear, there's always, I wouldn't say bothered me, because bothered, I guess, is too strong a word, but it's always, you know, something which has piqued my curiosity, as it were. I don't have a, I have to be honest with you, I still don't have a definitive answer. I think, though, that I have a, perhaps, of an answer. Ephraim and Menashe, historically, become two shvatim, become two tribes. And even though Yaakov switches the hands, there's really no indication that Ephraim truly predominates over Menashe. Even in the Torah, and this is something already pointed out earlier by the Nitziv, you take a look in the first counting, when Jews are counted at Sinai, Ephraim's count comes before that of Menashe. When they are about to enter the land of Israel, Menashe's count comes before that of Ephraim. There are times when Ephraim is the more important of the Shvatim. There are times when Menashe is more important. Shiloh in the Yerusha of Ephraim. Menashe gets two, the double portion. Right? There's Menashe on this side of the Jordan, this side of the Arden. There's the Chatzi Shevet Menashe. The only tribe that has a double portion is Menashe. You have a situation where the two brothers and their descendants become, if you will, yin and yang. And the distinction between the two of them is one of, if you will, nuance. Ephraim becomes or represents a more spiritual persona. Menashe, the more temporal of the two. When we don't have clear paradigms, maybe with the Imahot, we do. But when we're dealing with people, going back to that bracha that already, as I said, goes back, the Mesorah going back close to 2,000 years at least of the Brit Milah. And I take a look at this baby. I can tell you one thing when a person holds that baby ready for the Brit. And I remember, you know, I hear the voice of my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Amital Zatzal, you know, he joking how every father that he speaks to, when he talks about his toddler son, so is convinced that his son is going to become the Gadol Hador. Right? And he says, we don't only need Gedolim. I'm not going to mimic Rav Amital. I see, Rav Noam's smile, knowing that he's heard it also. And the voice say, wait, there's a need for Gedolim, and there's a need for leaders, and there's a need for, you know, just simply, he would say, you know, it's good enough just if he's a good, solid Jew. Just a Yirei Shamayim, just an Eved Elokim. Each person is able to serve God not only through his way, but within the context of the collective. Ephraim has his approach. Menashe has his approach. Yaakov doesn't switch the sons. No, he doesn't. They're standing in front of him. And he could just simply tell Yosef, move this one to the left, move this one to the right. And then the Merecha, why does he have to cross his hands? Because each one is standing where they belong. And yet, at times, the emphasis might be Ephraim before Menashe. Even though Menashe is standing at the right, where he belongs. Because each of us, with our gifts, and when you look holding that child, and you don't know what the gifts of that child truly are. The child going to be more spiritual? Is the child going to be more involved in the running of the involvement in the world, as we know? And you say, Ephraim v'Menashe, whatever this child is going to be, those two prototypes, let him take his prototype, let him shine. But together with Ephraim, if he's Menashe, together with Menashe, if he's Ephraim. Have a wonderful day.